Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Just pray as well. Lord, I just echo my brother's prayer. I just pray you speak through me today, Lord, and may your words be in season for me and for all those listening today, Lord Jesus. May you be your spirit speaking, not me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we just sung a wonderful song, didn't we, about our God can move the mountains. He's mighty to save. What an encouraging song that is. And, you know, hopefully today's word is encouraging for us all today. You know, if our God can move the mountains, he can move the mountains for us today. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, the biggest mountain he moved, we've been singing about it, he hung on the cross. He died and then he rose again, conquering Satan and sin once and for all. So, nothing overwhelms the Lord. May overwhelm us sometimes, but nothing overwhelms the Lord. Amen. So we're going to be just doing a little study on in Chronicles today, 2 Chronicles, on looking at Jehoshaphat and how he responded to a battle which was facing him and his people. And it's really, hopefully there's some really good lessons for us to learn today. So before we go into that, I just want a bit of background, a bit of context. So if you recall, Solomon, David's son, his responsibility was to build the temple, the Lord's temple. And, you know, David had the heart for it, but he gave that responsibility to his son, Solomon, to build the temple. And I'm not going to read all of it, but in 2 Chronicles 6, which is a great passage where when Solomon's built the temple, there's a prayer of dedication to the Lord on about the temple. I just want to just pick out a few verses. Chapter 6, verses 18 to 21. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, and where you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel, when they pray towards this place, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So there's a cry there to the Lord saying, when we're praying to you, we're focusing on you, hear our prayer. And if the chapter continues with Solomon's heart, where he's reaching out, praying to God for various different things. And in verses 34 to 35, chapter 6, Solomon's prayer is, when your people go out to battle against the enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you towards the city, when you've chosen, and which you've chosen, and the temple which I built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Amen. So he's praying, please listen to our cause when we go out to battle. And it's just important to remember that, because those people must have observed that prayer. They must have held that prayer. They must have trusted God. And the people who remained true and faithful would have held on to that prayer of Solomon for those generations. So before Jehoshaphat came king of Judah, his father, Asa, was the king. And in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 2, we read, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of his Lord, his God. So his father was following in the Lord's footsteps. He was doing what was right and good. And it's a really good little snapshot of his faithfulness. And later on in chapter 14, verses 9 to 11. Then Sirah, the Ethiopian, came out against them. This is King Asa and his army against them, with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marasha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephath and Marasha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power, help us. O Lord our God, we rest on you. And in your name we go against the multitude, O Lord. You are God, do not let men prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. What I made in the testament there is, you know, Asa was overwhelmed by this million plus army. His reaction was to turn to the Lord for help, and the Lord heeded that prayer. Amen. Now, Asa was a man, and sometimes he fell short. You know, we all fall short, I'm afraid. He compromised. So he had this amazing testimony where he conquered this amazing army, defeated them. His first reaction before was to pray to God. And then later on, when he's when Israel was mobilizing against Judah, what was his reaction? Not to go and pray to God to mirror what he'd done before, but was to go and seek help from Syria rather than God. So, you know, there's a lesson there not to do that, and he was rebuked for that later on. So Asa died, and then Jehoshaphat came king. And we'll just read verses 1 to 10 about a bit of background of chapter 17 before we go into the main part. Then Jehoshaphat the son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments and did not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established a kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he moved images in the high places and the wooden images from Judah. And later on it says, he sent out leaders. And in verse 9, they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And it says, the fear of the Lord fell on the kingdoms and the lands that were around Judah, so that it did not make war against Jehoshaphat. So he was a righteous man. He was following the Lord's ways. And, you know, he did some good things. He sent out the leaders. They were teaching them in the word. And that nation was truly fixed on the Lord. And at the time, the nations around him and Israel particularly were following foreign gods. You know, I think we were singing today, or someone declared, we only have one true God, amen. But they were searching after foreign gods, these Baals. And we may not, some people today are worshipping, unfortunately, little statues. But in the West, there are other gods, whether it's technology or football or money, lust. There's all sorts of gods today in this, which are probably less subtle than a little statuette, but equally as dangerous in this country. But Jehoshaphat and his nation remained true to God, had their eyes fixed on him. And it said the land became prosperous. However, like his dad, he did compromise. So you read later on, he formed a partnership with Israel, where he allowed his son to marry into that family of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. You know, what a compromise to make. You know, but it just shows sometimes when we keep our eye, we move our eye from the Lord, sometimes we can slip, and he slipped pretty badly. And King Ahab encouraged Jehoshaphat to come into battle with him against Ramoth Gilead. And you're probably familiar with the chapter where, you know, King Ahab said, well, I'll just go in disguise. You dress as the king. You know, he's setting it up for a... He's deceiving him. He thought, well, you're going to get killed and I'll be fine. But no, the Lord over intervened. And the guy sent the arrow and it just went and directly killed Ahab, just as the prophet had warned. Even though the prophet warned, don't go into battle, they did it. However, after being rebuked in chapter 19, verses 2 by Micaiah, we read, when we start reading in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat returned to the ways of the Lord. He sent judges out to the land, and the nation had their eyes fixed on God again. So we're going to turn to chapter 20 now. This is going to be the focus of our preach. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. That's a good start he made, isn't it? He didn't go and seek another king for help. His initial reaction was to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord, from all the cities of Judea, and they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And recall what we read before about Solomon's prayer. That prayer of coming to the temple, fixing on the Lord. He'll overcome the battle. They did what he said. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, you are not God in... Are you not the God in heaven, and you do not rule over the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand there is not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and dwell in it, and have built your sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster becomes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with the little ones, and their wives, and their children, stood before God. That's a great picture, isn't it? All of Judah, including the adults and the little ones, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, and the Levite, the sons of Asbeth, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come upon the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, and with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Korahites and the children of the Korahites stood to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army, who was saying, praise the Lord, praise his mercy endures forever. Now when they begun to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judea and defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the Mount Seir to utterly destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So when Judea came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there they were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came up to take the spoil away, they found among them abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewellery. And they were, sorry, I'm just going to jump down. Verse 27, then they return every man of Judea and Jerusalem who have Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy. The Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of the God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave rest all around. Amen. What an amazing chapter, eh? What an amazing chapter. And so much for us to sort of learn from that and heed and take encouragement from. So when, as we read, when Jehoshaphat was warned this army is coming on them, descending on them, he did what his father did when he saw the Ethiopians. He turned to the Lord for help. There was a bit of fear in there when he was praying to God, you know, what are the God, you know. But he turned to God. He was fearful, but his trust was to the Lord. Amen. And what I really, really liked is, I touched on it before, all this, everyone joined him. Verse 5, then the Jehoshaphat stood in assembly in the house of the Lord. And then, where is it? Someone read it out. Everyone was there. Can't see the verse now, but we read that the adults and the children, everyone was there. And that's a powerful thing, isn't it? Verse 13, now all of Judah, their little ones and their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. And when we come across battles in this church, it's a powerful thing as a body. We stand together before the Lord. If there's battles going on in your connect groups, rally together, stand before the Lord. Families, if there's issues in your family, stand together before the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, I was touched of a testimony which Philip gave quite a few months ago when the family conference day, when Philip described personal testimony of where there was a theft in their car. And their first reaction was, and the kids was, to stand together and pray to the Lord for help. And the kids joined into that prayer, and then God intervened, and their possessions were returned to them. And that just struck me. It's powerful, whether you've got little ankle biters or teenagers standing together with the parents, praying to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I encourage us all to do that. So Jehoshaphat and the nation were there praying to the Lord. And the Lord spoke through the prophet. And that just sort of pointed me to 1 Corinthians 14:26 around orderly worship. When you're together as a body praying, 1 Corinthians 14:26 tells us what about orderly worship and what can happen. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for the edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at the most there, each in turn, and let one interpret. And it goes on. And as that nation was together praying to the Lord spoke, didn't he, through the prophet, saying, don't worry, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And when we're together as a body, we should have that expectancy that God may speak through one of us. We don't have to manufacture it and try and twist God's arm. But the word says, we just read in Corinthians, about orderly worship. Come with a psalm, come with a revelation. That's what we should be doing here. Amen. And what was really encouraging is they were obedient. So when they'd had this command, this is what you're going to do. This is the battle of the Lord's, so get ready. Sometimes we learn from the Israelites, sometimes they still retreat into, oh, how are we going to do this, Lord? You know, we can't do it. You know, we saw it in Moses when God told Moses to go and rescue the Israelites. I can't do it. I'm not a very good orator. I'll give you the words to say. And he said, no, I can't do it. And in the end, God said, well, use Aaron. But Moses could have done it himself. But they didn't. They were obedient. They went out ready. And God didn't say how he's going to win the battle for him. He said he's just going to win it. So in their minds, they might be thinking, well, Are we going to still have to go out with our swords and still battle? You know, they might be thinking, well, who's going to be in the front line? And not quite sure. He didn't give them the answer, did he? He just said, the battle is mine. And sometimes that happens in our personal lives. We don't know how the battle, we don't know what we're going to have to endure. But God, we've been singing about today, the battle is the Lord's. We don't know the path we may have to walk, but God will never leave or forsake us. Amen. We need to remember that. And we, in our minds, we might think, well, I've got the best answer, Lord. If you do this, do that, do the other, I'll win the battle. No. Unless the Lord speaks, it's his ways. Amen. Amen. And sometimes it's a waiting game. Sometimes you might think, well, what is this battle plan, Lord? What do I have to do? And sometimes he wants us to sit and wait and be still. Wait on him. And if you're waiting for an answer, you're waiting for God's intervention. Sometimes God wants us to rest in his presence. And in his perfect time, in his perfect will, he will give his revelation to you. He will direct your paths. But sometimes life isn't a Formula One race where you just know which turn is to course. Sometimes it's a waiting game. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And I'll put my hand up sometimes. In my flesh, I'll lack that patience. That's why we all have to pray, Lord, give me all of the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. He'll give it to us. What father's going to hold back a perfect gift? The gift of the Spirit of those who ask him. So they got ready. And Joseph bowed his head with his face and all of Judea and bowed before the Lord, worshipping. Then the Levites, the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, O God of Israel, with voices loud on high. Later on, he set people off to specifically to praise, to worship God. And it was interesting that only when they started to praise and worship, that preceded the victorious battle, didn't it? Now, verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise God, the Lord set ambushes against the people. I think that's important, that. He was seeing their heart. They were in a battle. It's not natural when you're going through a battle, through affliction, to praise God. But in the supernatural, for the Spirit, God wants our praises all the time, doesn't he? He doesn't want... God's not a seasonal God. That is some of these fair weather football fans who they'll praise their football team when they're winning, and when they don't, they just mumble and grumble. God's totally different. He wants our praises all the time because he deserves our praises all the time. Amen. And when they had peace about the situation, they committed to God, they trusted him, they started to praise, and then God undertook the battle. And it's very similar, parallel to when Paul and Silas, wasn't it? A really famous passage in the Bible in Acts 16. They were in the prison. Chains, dark, horrible chains on their body, probably nipping them and hard and dark. They were singing hymns and praise, and the chains were set free. Amen? That's a testimony for us. Are we singing praises through the good times as well as the bad times, or vice versa, through the bad times as well as the good times? Let's have that heart of worship and praise all the time. Amen. And so God won the battle. They didn't have to even lift a sword, praise God, in this circumstance. They were fighting amongst themselves. And then what I liked about the reaction is, after they'd gone to see this army defeated, strewn across the fields, they took the plunder. What was their reaction? And sometimes we can fall in this trap. When we've overcome a battle, we can just go, relax, and almost slip back into self again, get cozy. No, their first reaction was to go back to the temple and praise God. God deserves the praise. This is why I like to encourage testimonies, not just on a Sunday, but in connect groups. If God's done something amazing, or he's helping you through a journey, share it with a brother and sister, share it with the body. Share it with your connect group, because it uplifts and encourages, and God deserves the praise. Amen. So it says, then they returned to Jerusalem. Verse 27. With joy, the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against their enemies. Amen. So I think that's a good learning for us, that when we're going through battles, we're going through trials and tribulation, our first port of call should be to seek the Lord, to pray and to praise, just like Jehoshaphat did in Judea. When we're enduring the battle, we're about to go into the battle, we praise the Lord. And afterwards, when he's overcome, we come and give thanks to the Lord our God. So how are we responding to our trials and battles today? You know, we don't have a massive army of physical people like Judea then, but God has given us the armour of God. We read it in Ephesians, hasn't he? He's given us that armour. He's warned us that we've got an enemy like the roaring lion. He roams around ready to devour. But he's given us the armour of God to wear. He's not going to forsake us. Amen. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, "Be filled in the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart." That's a really good command, isn't it? And I think if we're doing that more and more and more, we'll be battle ready when one of us or two of us or the church has to go through battle. If we're in a habit, which is a good habit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, that's going to make us a strong army for God. Amen. And like Jehoshaphat did as well, they avoided idols, they avoided the worldly Baals. And I think we've got that command as well. You know, Hebrews 13:5-6, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, 'Never I will leave you, never I'll forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" Amen. And, you know, what is taking your mind up today? What is taking your, what is dwelling in your heart today? Is it things of this world or is it the Lord? And if things of the world have crept in, God is a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. Amen. And that's Solomon's prayer. If you read of all of 2 Chronicles 6, it talks about when we sin, it says all men sin, when we return to the Lord, you're a forgiving Lord. And that's, I'm paraphrasing it. But read that chapter. God is gracious. Sometimes he allows things, you know, if we turn our back on him, he may allow a situation to come and rebuke and chastise us, but quickly repent and move on. You may be going through a battle today. You may be going through a trial. The word says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, that's what we've just talked about. Rejoicing. Not rejoicing just in the good times when you're going through a ride in the crest. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness evident to all. That's a good testimony, a good witness to the people around us. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So when you're going through a trial, that means you're going through thanksgiving, and you need to pray, but have a thanksgiving heart. Now, sometimes that can be a bit strange to us if you're going through a trial. But let the Holy Spirit lead your prayers. Thank the Lord. Jim reminded us on Wednesday night, we may be going through a trial, but the person next to you might be going through a far greater trial. We've been reminded about the people in Syria today. They are going through unimaginable things. Praise the Lord what we've got today. Amen. Amen. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And there's a promise here. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you may still have to endure the battle. You may still have to go through it. But God will give you that supernatural peace if you ask him. Amen. That's an amazing thing. When you might be going through a trial and a colleague or work or family member saying, "Well, why are you not getting a bit stressed? Or why are you not looking a bit flaky?" Or you might say, "Well, in the flesh I am. But I pray to God and his supernatural peace has come upon me. I'm going to trust on him today." Wow. I just put my head in the sand when I, you know, that's an amazing testimony to share to people. Amen. And later on it says in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Every one of us today can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't have to be a 10-year scholar at Bible school. You don't have to be a Christian for 50-odd years. All of us can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Whether you're the little 4-year-old to a 99-year-old, everyone has got that promise. Amen. And unfortunately, you know, I sometimes just turn my back on that promise sometimes, but we need to grab it with two hands, and say, Amen, Lord, I stand on that promise. I just want to end in a really uplifting psalm. Would you like to stand, please? And as we enter a time of worship, reflection, you know, either where you're sitting, kneeling, standing, seek the Lord if you're going through a battle. If you have turned your back on him, repent, say sorry and move on. There's no condemnation in Christ. If you need prayer from myself and the leaders here, please come. We're more than happy to pray for you. Seek the Lord into what you may be going through. Psalm 95, we'll read verses 1 to 7. It'd be good if we can read this together. And in this, in my Bible, it's a call to worship and obedience, it says. So verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also, and the sea is his, for he made it, and the hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Amen. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Amen. 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 Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness to us all, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just thank you that we do not have to try and win the battle on our own, Lord Jesus. We may have to endure battles, Father God, but your word says you have the battle in your hands, Father God. Lord, I just pray we'll just learn from this passage we've read, Lord. May we have a heart like Jehoshaphat, where we see trials and tribulations, he turned to you through prayer, petition and praise. And your word went forth, Lord, that you will not abandon them. And Lord, we just thank you that you're a faithful God and you deliver them out of their enemy, Lord Jesus. You crush them without them even to raise a sword, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And Lord Jesus, as we are on this pilgrimage on this earth today, Lord Jesus, I just pray that each one of us will be able to walk the narrow path you set us on, Lord Jesus. Help us to wear your armour which you freely give us, Lord Jesus. Help us to have our eyes fixed in you, Lord. And Lord, if any one of us today is going through an enduring battle, I just pray that peace will come upon them, Lord, which transcends all understanding. I just pray, Father God, that I have godly confidence that you are the victor and we serve a victorious King who will never abandon us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you help them overcome their trials for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.